Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Welcome to the first episode of this Anti-Pattern Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Pretty professional here, right?
The studio, you mean?
Yeah.
It looks pretty professional, I have to say this. So for those of you who wonder where we are in the Muffinex Startup Center here in Mannheim. And this is our first episode. And I'm looking forward to additional ones.
Absolutely. And we were waiting quite a long time to make this happen. But in detail, why are we here?
So you ask, why are we sitting here? So basically speaking, the two of us, together with some other folks, have founded a company called Elevating Patterns. And we wanted to make it more interesting, which means we wanted to add a podcast. And this is the Anti-Pattern Podcast that we are now starting.
And for sure, also technical details about our product, right?
Yeah, let's see about that. Maybe not too much into the details, and I will stop you when you get out too many technical details to our competition.
Sure, not. I was not planning to do that. But nonetheless, I think we also need to clarify how we position ourselves in the PLM market and why we might not be a PLM tool.
True. So yes, we are part of the so-called PLM market, but we are not planning to build the next PLM tool, so to say, right? We have a different view on it. We are sure that the PLM concept that has been developed many years ago is correct, but the tools out there, the monolithic architectures that we see for PLM, they are outdated and we want to do things differently.
Yeah, I think one reason for it is that we worked for, I would say, the major PLM companies in the last years.
Most of them.
Yeah, most of them.
Basically.
One or two are missing, I would say. Yeah, but why now?
Why now? So maybe let me say two things about this. First of all, we have been thinking about this, as you said, many, many years. Right? I remember the first time when I thought about it was basically when I left XPLM, right? My father's and my uncle's, basically, my father and my uncle's company years ago. And I said, well, I want to be in my own company again, right? I want to know what I'm working on. I want to be, you know, the one that is, you know, setting the rules and defining what's the product going to be. So that's the one thing. The other thing is, if you look at the current situation in Germany and in Europe, we are in a deep economic crisis. Mm-hmm. And people may say, oh, you guys are crazy. Why are you founding a company right in the middle of all of this? And my answer is no, that's not actually how it works, right? On the contrary, the best and the most successful companies were founded in the middle of the crisis, right? Because the crisis helps you, right? It will wipe out the weak and the not working companies. And after the crisis, the world looks way different, right? Mm. And this is what we are counting on, right? Because we want to do things differently. We want to build something completely new that has never been done before, right? And the crisis is only helping us, at least in my view, and in the view of Mr. Schumpeter, if you heard that name before.
Yeah, that's true that we have a crisis. But it seems to be a deep crisis.
True.
We are going deeper and deeper into the crisis, yeah. What you hear from media. What makes you optimistic about Elevating Patterns?
Oh, it's basically the why behind it, right? Why are we doing this, right? We are not, you don't found a company to make money, to be honest. You want to realize something, right? It was not done there or was not done before. So this is the one thing, the why behind it. And we come to this, I guess, in additional episodes anyway. And the second thing is the founding team, right? Mm-hmm. We have never been working in the same company before, even if we know each other for more than 10 years, 12 years, roundabout.
Yes, should be 2012 when we started the MacProbe research project.
Yeah, I remember. So I was an external PhD student back at the chair for virtual product development in Kaiserslautern at the university, and you were a research assistant and you right. started and headed basically the Mac Pro project. Yeah, I remember that project quite well. It is one of the few really big research projects that actually delivered something, to be honest. So yeah, I remember that quite well. And this is the first time when we met, and I remember additional things, you know, where we went together to meetings of organizations in COSI.
Oh, yeah, in COSI, OMG, and all our common network we have here in Europe Prost and all over the world.
Yeah.
Prost of Ivy, right.
Right. Yeah. So, and of course, I remember one particular meeting in Orlando, the OMG technical meeting in Orlando. The meeting itself was fine, interesting, really good.
It was wild. World championship, soccer championship.
It was, yeah. And you were spending all the time in the meetings
and you
and I went watching soccer. Yeah, I remember that. Together with your now wife, back then girlfriend.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she
true.
Was with us.
Yeah, but the most fun part was actually when we drove down to southern Florida, to Naples, and we went to Brooks Burger.
Best burger ever.
Yeah, best burger ever.
No second burger for you today, sir.
Yeah, maybe we leave that to the comment section. Yeah, but anyway, so what I wanted to ask you then is, so we are building software, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you see the platform? What is it going to be? What's different?
Yeah, you're already saying it. It will be different. So the major issue we see, or I have seen in my professional career, is that coming from the PLM concept, nearly every PLM solution vendor claims that he has a solution for the product lifecycle.
Right.
But if you take a deeper look in it, you see it's definitely not true.
Right.
They
right.
are very often limited to the development phase. Some have extensions into the usage phase with
right.
IoT solutions. But somehow it's not really connected.
Right.
That's the major point.
Right. And I have to agree. So most of those PLM systems out there, right, they are coming from the PDM space. They handle a lot of stuff in the design phase and extended, right, as you said, really, really good, right? And we don't want to compete with them, right? What we want to do is we want to solve the one unsolved issue, and that is the continuity of data, the digital thread, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just from design to manufacturing, right? This would be a challenge, but it's not the hardest part, right? It is along the whole life cycle, right? Including the equipment, right? Including down to the instance level.
Single instances, yeah, right.
Mm. And so the whole thing, and from our view, I guess we can say, so all of the PLM systems basically don't do this or cannot do this. And it's not just a market issue or a sales issue. It is also a technical issue, and we come to that, that we need to use complete different architecture to actually make that work.
Yeah. Okay. So we are not doing PLM.
Right.
So PLM could be one building block that we are connecting to, right?
Right. Yeah. So first of all, PLM, another TLA, another three-letter acronym, right? PLM is for us a tool we can connect to, right? We don't want to rip and replace any PLM system out there with our solution. We want to connect to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we think we can actually solve that issue. And what we don't have to do is tackle things that have already been solved. For example, CAD data management, something basically unsolved issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worth tackling, right? So we want to focus on the things that have not been resolved, right? And we're happy to integrate with everybody, basically.
Yeah. And for technical details and the architecture, I think we will have enough episodes in future to go drill down to the real solution.
Right. You are the CTO, right? So this is basically your job to give us all of the details.
Yeah. We already told our audience how the company name is, but what does elevating
where
pattern
is it coming
mean?
From? Yeah. Yeah. So elevating patterns. Basically speaking, it goes back to the discussion that we just had, right? We don't want to replace existing tools. We want to lay on top of them, right? Which means we connect to a PLM system. We definitely will connect to an ERP system, which in Europe is basically SAP, right? So we want to connect to all of those systems. So we kind of hover above them. We fly above them. We are elevated, right? with our patterns, right? We are going to use, and this is up for one of the next episodes, we are going to use a graph database, right? Instead of a rational one, a relational one, right? So this is the theme, and the company, you know, basically carries this name, right? Elevated over it, pattern, because it's a graph and you see patterns in it. And the second thing, of course, is pattern also kind of points into the direction of AI, right? We also, even if we don't lead with it, but we want to do this in the future, we use AI to not just help manage, understand product data. We also want to create, co-create, so to say, product data with the help of AI and a knowledge graph.
And so also elevate the business of our customers.
Good point. This is also a good explanation of where the name is coming from, right? Yeah, so both is true, yeah.
Okay, so we already know now we want to do things differently on the one hand from the technical side, on the other hand maybe also from staffing side and many, many things. What we definitely don't want to do is playing the blame game. So
yeah, no blame game, yeah. So you already mentioned we have been working for major PLM vendors. And, you know, we know weaknesses, of course, because no system is perfect, right? And but what we don't want to do is we don't go, oh, look at this vendor, this is wrong, this is something that is completely solved, you know, stupidly. Yeah. We don't do this, right? Because we don't want to blame single vendors. We're just looking at how is the PLM market working and what is it that we would like to do different, right? Because it's not fair to, you know, kind of single out all of the different problems of all of the vendors, right? Because we first have to prove we can do it better, right?
Sure.
But our approach is different, definitely. So we will compare against the general PLM market and see what we can do with it.
Also from a licensing perspective, to some extent.
Definitely. So one spoiler, right? Both of us are not really a fan of selling software per licenses, right? Because this is really old fashioned. This is something we don't want to do. Today, software is sold as a subscription, right? Because a friend of mine once said that, right? If you sell software licenses, right, you are also basically open to sell your grandmother for a quick buck, right? Because it basically speaking, there's a lot of investment upfront for the customer, and without knowing is this going to be successful or not, right? 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, depending who you ask, PLM projects fail anyway, right? So this is something that we don't want to see. We want to be successful together with the customer, which means subscription is a huge incentive for us to bring them live, to add functionality, to expand the footprint at the customer, and not just, you know, sell the license and forget about it, right? This is not our approach, and we find that, I have to say, so unfair, not just in PLM, it's general theme in the, you know, old-fashioned software market, right? Yeah. We don't want to do that.
So what's the conclusion about it?
Oh, before we do that, I have to correct myself. I said we never worked in the same company, which is actually not true.
It isn't?
No, it's not. We have been working together at XPLM for at least 3 months.
Oh, when the university had the budget problem, I needed a second job.
Yeah, I remember that quite well.
Right.
Yeah, so you were not working full-time at XPLM. That's true. But we have been working for the same company for some time. And now that I mentioned XPLM, I have been so many times to Dresden. It's unbelievable. Like in 1 year, 40 times, something like this. And it's really weird for me when I'm now in Dresden, not visiting the XPLM office. It's really weird for me. So I share a lot of history with that company. I just wanted to say, hopefully some of the former colleagues are watching or are listening into this. So looking really forward to the exchange and see what your guys' view on what the future of PLM is going to be.
Yeah. That's the same for me, from my former colleagues at Contact Software and the office that I opened together with two other guys in Kaiserslautern. Yeah.
You actually opened two offices, right?
Actually, yes. Kaiserslautern and Karlsruhe,
True. Okay.
Yeah, and now I opened another office indirectly.
Indirectly, so let's see. Maybe we will be successful and open other offices around the world. Today we start with Mannheim, and you asked me for conclusions. I interrupted you. Exactly. You asked me for conclusions, right? So just a couple of conclusions maybe. So first of all, this is elevating patterns. This is our company. We just started. We want to have a podcast just to reach out to our audiences, to, you know, potential customers, to our network and all that, which is called the Anti-Pattern Podcast, right? And why did we call it like this? Because we want to be the anti-pattern, right? We don't want to do things like the PLM market. We want to do things differently. So we are the anti-pattern. We do it completely different as you guys are used to. And in addition to that, we don't want to play the blame game, right? We call out things that are wrong in the market, and we, you know, kind of offer an alternative. That's true. But we don't single out any particular vendor. So, you know, don't have to be afraid of this, guys out there. Like, we're not doing this. And yeah, last but not least, as you said, we are different, and the companies is different. So let's see what the next episodes will bring. We come to more technical details. We will also talk about maybe the history of PLM, you know, and it was not always called PLM. There was EDB, EDM, PDM, now PLM. And some folks talk about SysLM, which completely is confusing to people familiar with the system modeling language. But anyway, so
now DTS.
And now DTS, right, right, right. So this is upcoming, and we're really looking forward to this.
In this sense, if you liked what you heard now, consider to subscribe to your channel where you are listening to or watching us on YouTube, for example. Leave us a like, leave us a comment. What would you like to talk about? What would you like to hear from our side? And in this sense,
sounds good.
Bye for now.
Take care, everyone.
See you next time.
Yeah. Bye-bye.